Let's turn in our Bibles for the next few minutes to Colossians chapter 3 and just one verse. Colossians chapter 3, and I want us to look at verse 15 together tonight. Colossians 3, 15. The scripture says in verse 15, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, brothers and sisters in Christ." And then he says, "And be ye thankful." And be ye thankful. Now, we've heard some testimonies tonight. And others, of course, are thankful, though you may not have given a testimony. But they express from our hearts our thankfulness to God. But you know, there are a lot of people who are really not thankful like they should be. Enrico Caruso, the great operatic singer, it is said that many times he would demand more pillows and more mattresses and many other things, maybe at 1 or 1:30 in the morning, and he would demand that they would bring them to his room. And obviously he had was asking for and had a whole lot more than he needed and evidently didn't appreciate what he really had. I think today that many of us are that way if we're not careful. We may get a lot of the abundance of God's blessings and forget God and forget where those blessings came from. Every blessing we have tonight comes from Almighty God. Amen? I mean, every one of them. They all come from the mercy of God. And yet there are many who really never thank God for the abundance that God has given us. And believe you me, in America, we are really blessed compared to so many countries. Some of you who have traveled and been overseas, you know that's the truth. But let's look for a second at some things that I believe would be in relationship to being thankful. There are inquiries regarding thankfulness. Inquiries regarding thankfulness. The question is, are you thankful? Too many times we can look at others and question whether they are really thankful or not. But the question to me tonight and to you is, are we thankful? Number one, are we thankful for our daily blessings? Have you had any blessings today? Yes, well, I just can't think of any. Well, maybe you hadn't been thinking right all day, because in every day, if we just stop and consider it, we know there's some blessings in that day. One of the best things you can do when you pillow your head at night as you reflect over the day is to count the blessings that God has given you that day. Even with all of the trials and all of the difficulties, count your blessings. Thank God for His providential care. I'm glad that He watches over me, especially in the Metroplex. And then when I go to Dallas and drive around a while, I'm really thankful for God's providential care. How about you? They're wild over there. They're wild enough here. But seriously, aren't you glad that God watches over us? And there's absolutely nothing that can happen to us that is negative or bad unless God permits it and allows it, like He did in Job's life. But God is watching over us, and I'm thankful for His providential care. I'm thankful for prayer and the privilege to thank God. What a privilege it is to say, "Father," and we call Him our Father. And we say, "I thank you, Father, for all the blessings you've given me." Amen. Now that's a privilege to know that God is our Father. We've been adopted into the family of God. We're not nobodies. We are somebody because He has redeemed us and He placed us in the family. We're His children. I heard a story the other day about a child that was walking, a little girl walking with her mother, and they were going to take her mother, who was a Jew, and kill her. And they asked her mother, "Who is that little girl belong to?" And she just pointed to the nearest lady and said, "She belongs to her," because she wanted to save her little daughter's life. And the woman took the daughter and adopted her and took care of her. Well, that's what God's done for every one of us. He's adopted us into His family, and thank God we can give Him thanksgiving as a child of God, and God has given us the privilege of prayer. I would be absolutely bonkers if I didn't have prayer. And you would too, probably. If we couldn't go to God in prayer, what a privilege it is to carry everything to God in prayer. I mean everything. You know one thing I like? God's never in a hurry. I call some people on the telephone, and it's obvious from the minute they get on that they're in a hurry. And I get sort of nervous about that. And if I ever do that to you, sort of let me know that, and I'll be glad to slow down a little bit. But I'm thankful that God is never in a hurry, amen? He's always there to listen to us, and we can continue in prayer and watch in the same, he says, with thanksgiving. Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. Thank God we can go to him in prayer. What a privilege. I don't know if we really appreciate that or not, like we should. I hope we do, and I hope I do, but we need to think about the great privilege we have in prayer. Inquiries regarding thankfulness. Are we thankful for these things? Then there's the iniquity of unthankfulness. It is a sin to be unthankful. The iniquity of unthankfulness. The last days, God says, one of the signs of the times will be that people are unthankful. Listen to it in 2 Timothy 3:2. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Boy, do we ever see that? They're lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy. You see, unthankfulness is a spirit of the end time and a spirit of Antichrist, I believe. Luke 6:35, but love your enemies and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind. He is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. A lot of people misunderstand God because he's long-suffering and kind to them. But one of these days, they're going to find out that God's grace comes to an end when they have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ ultimately and turned their backs on him. Shakespeare said, and I quote, I hate ingratitude more in a man than lying, vainness, babblings, drunkenness, or any other taint of vice whose strong corruption inhabits our frail blood. How sharper than a serpent, than a serpent's tooth it is to have a thankless child. Now, if you're a parent and you have a thankless child, just remember sometimes we sort of do God that way. And we have to always let God know how thankful we are and recognize that all that we are, all that we have, who we are, the fact that we know we're going to heaven. You heard the little children say, I'm glad I know God and I'm glad I know Jesus, or I'm glad I'm saved. Now, that may not be volumes of eloquence, and yet it really is, isn't it? They know that they know the Lord Jesus Christ. And then there's the inclusiveness of thanksgiving. Now, that's one's a little harder. The inclusiveness of thanksgiving. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks. Everything. Everybody understand that, class? Say amen if you heard that word, everything. That's tough. In everything give thanks. Why? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything, give thanks. Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Give thanks. Give thanks for uncertain things. You heard Brother Carr talk about, I don't know the next step maybe. I don't know what's out there. Well, give thanks for the fact that some things are uncertain. And he said, you heard the testimony where he said, but God proved himself. Or God demonstrated. Isn't that great when God does that? Then we know he's real. Then we know he can do that. Then we know we have a living Savior and that he is able to meet our needs. Be thankful in crisis. Be thankful when the waters are turbulent, because they're going to be there. A lot of times we as pastors who've been in the work for many years, we watch young preacher boys as they get involved, and they may have a little bit of success, may have a whole lot of success, but it usually happens that somewhere along the way God has to clip all of our wings a little bit. And we go through the turbulent trials and difficulties, and that's when God is molding us and fashioning us and making us what He wants us to be. We're the clay, and He's the potter. And He does that in our lives. We ought to praise Him when the barns are full, but we ought to praise Him when they're empty. We ought to praise Him when the cupboard's got groceries in it, but we ought to praise Him when it's empty. Get on our knees and say, God, we need something. And God will meet our need every time because He has promised to do that. Pray when we have good health and pray when we don't have good health and praise Him for it. That's a little more difficult. Friends that disappoint you, praise the Lord because He allows it. There's a reason. Always ask God, what are you trying to teach me with these circumstances that are in my life? Enjoy the fireplace, but enjoy being persecuted for the Lord if that's needful and necessary. Do all of that. I had something I filed away, and some of you may have heard it, but I want to share it with you tonight. It says, I am thankful for the teenager who is complaining about doing dishes because that means she is at home, not on the streets. I'm thankful for taxes that I pay because it means that I'm employed. I heard a man out there just griping and fussing because of all the work he had. There's some that don't. I'm thankful for the mess to clean after a party because it means that I have been surrounded by friends. For clothes that fit a little too snug because it means I have enough, maybe too much, to eat. For my shadow that watches me work because it means I am out in the sunshine. For a lawn that needs mowing, windows that need cleaning, and gutters that need fixing, because it means I have a home. For all the complaining I hear about the government, because it means that we have freedom of speech. I'm glad we still live in a country like that right now. For the parking spot I find at the far end of the parking lot. Have you ever noticed people circle, people that really need to be walking, just keep circling until they find that first spot up there? I'm not talking about the ones with a little blue tag. You have a legitimate reason. But thankful for the parking lot I find at the far end of the parking lot, a spot, because it means I am capable of walking and that I have been blessed with transportation. For my huge heating bill, because it means I'm warm. For the lady, I like this one. For the lady behind me in church, it sings off key, because it means I can hear. For the pile of laundry and ironing, because it means I have clothes to wear. For weariness and aching muscles at the end of the day, because it means I've been capable of working hard. For the alarm that goes off in the early morning hours, because it means that I'm alive. And finally, for too much email, because it means I have friends who are thinking of me. Boy, you get a lot of that, don't you? Well, there's always something to be thankful for if we just look for it. And God help us to be thankful for these blessings. Inquiries, are we thankful? Iniquity, it is wrong to not be thankful. Inclusive, thank God for all things. Things we don't understand, thank God for it. And then inspiration of thanksgiving. You know, we ought to be inspired and let others know that we're thankful. And I'm not criticizing you that didn't give a testimony tonight. I don't mean that here. Because you may be talking to somebody at work tomorrow or a relative over Thanksgiving, and that all enters into it. But I'm saying that when we are thankful, we're going to be inspired, I think, to give glory to God. We're going to be inspired to give Him praise. Psalm 26:7, David said that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. It's great if we are inspired and we tell others about God's wondrous works. Pardon me. Daniel said in 2:23, I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now that we desire what we desired of thee. For thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. Daniel says, Lord, I'm thankful that you've revealed this to me. I have a thankful heart. The apostles were thankful. Acts 5:41, and they departed from the presence of the council. Listen to this. rejoicing, that's being thankful, that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name. Amen. Are we thankful when we suffer shame for His name? Most of us don't have to do a whole lot of that. Sometimes it's there, and you may have a little of that over the holidays with your relatives, but that's all right. Just thank God for it. Just say, Jesus, I'm thankful that I can suffer a little bit for You or be misunderstood a little bit for You, and remember what He has done for us. Paul was stoned and beaten and attacked, and yet he said, I'm thankful that I can enter into some of the suffering and let You know that I'm Your child. Jesus was even thankful to His Father, John 11:41. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, talking about Lazarus. And Jesus lifted up His eyes and said, Father, I thank Thee that Thou hast heard Me. Even Jesus thanked His Father for hearing His prayer. And He knew that Lazarus, right after that He said, Lazarus, come forth. He called His name. If He had just said, come forth, everybody, I think probably all the dead would have come forth. But He said, Lazarus, come forth. But He thanked His Father in that relationship for it. And Mary and Martha were able to experience that. And then be thankful for other things, even insult. Jesus was rejected. Oh, was He ever rejected? Of all that ever walked on the first of the face of the earth, it should have been loved, should have been understood. Shouldn't have been any question about it. I mean, He healed the blind and raised the dead, healed the leper, and made the deaf to hear. He was a compassionate, merciful, loving Savior in God in the flesh. And yet He was rejected. Hebrews 12:2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He took it for our sake, and we ought to be thankful that Jesus was willing to do that for us. Who are we? I sing a song every once in a while. Who am I that a king should bleed and die for? And who are we tonight that God's only Son would go to the cross and die for us? You say, well, we'll never forget it. We might. In 1923, Japan had a great earthquake. 300,000 thereabout of their citizens were killed. 2,500,000 were homeless. And America really helped them out during that time. And somebody made the statement, a leader said, Japan will never forget. Japan will never forget. And remember, that's 1923. December 7, 1941, they did forget when they attacked Pearl Harbor. And we say, how could they forget what we've done for them? Look at all the nations that have forgotten what America has done for them. How could they forget? And folks, how could we forget? How could we for one moment forget what God has done for us and what God has provided for us through His Son, Jesus Christ? Are we thankful tonight? Are we complaining, griping, grouchy, negative? Are we blaming God for things that come in our life? What's our attitude toward things? We ought to be thankful tonight as we think about those things. And I can tell you, an unthankful heart is an evil heart. You say, well, I don't get drunk, and I don't commit adultery, and I don't do all that. But an unthankful heart, an unthankful spirit, is an evil heart and an evil spirit. And then we've got to remember that we must be thankful for all things. I'm telling you there, all things work together for good. It doesn't say all things are good. Because there are a lot of things that I've experienced in my 62 years of living on the face of the earth that are heart-rending and heartbreaking and sad and bring you to your knees and tears and all of the above. But God's always there. Amen. And we just have to trust Him and be thankful for all things. Sometimes we just have to say, God, I don't understand. And God doesn't get mad at us when we don't understand. I don't think He does. I think He's taught us in His Word. He didn't get out with us just because we say that. Father, I really don't understand, but I trust You. I accept what I'm going through. You've allowed it. There's a reason for it. And whatever You want me to learn through it, teach me. there are times that I knew what God was trying to teach me. I knew what was going on, and I knew exactly what God was trying to teach me. There have been other times I didn't know. And I thought, man, I don't know why. I mean, everything's going wrong. The tire blows out, and the furnace quits, and the air conditioner stops. Stove goes out, you know, and the hot water heater blows up, and sometimes it seems like all those things come back to back. And all of a sudden somebody gets sick and you got a high medical bill and you wonder why. You don't understand it all. You say, but God, I'm a tither, you know, I'm a tither, and I give. That's all right. Sometimes God tests our motive, and sometimes he just wants to draw us closer to him. But we have to be willing to give thanks for everything. For everything. Sometimes that's tough. And then are we inspired to praise him? We should be inspired as we look at what God has done for us. And we ought to say, praise God. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. I want to tell you what God's done for me. He saved my soul. I was on my way to hell. If I'd have died in that condition, I'd have split hell wide open. But he reached down his hand and wonderfully called me by his Spirit and saved my soul. Oh, me. Thank God we're not going to go to hell. At least I hope you've made preparation and you are saved. If not, you need to be saved tonight. Are we inspired to praise him? Are we unthankful for the cross? Friend, if you reject the cross of Jesus, you are unthankful for it. So I won't get saved, but I understand what Jesus did and I appreciate what he did. No, friend, you're rejecting it. And you're saying to God the Father, if you reject his son, I don't appreciate what you did giving your only son to die in my place on the cross. Don't reject him. That's being unthankful for the greatest gift in the world that God could offer to anybody. And by the way, you can receive it tonight if you haven't, and you should. You say, why? Why should I tonight? How do you know that? Well, the Bible says now is the accepted time. Besides that, who wants to gamble with eternity? Suppose you get killed tonight. Suppose you die tonight. Are you going to heaven? Are you on your way to heaven? You look at the cross and you say, well, I know that's the way, but I'm not going to accept it. That, my friend, is an unthankful heart. Let's stand, please. Remember, we're going to have the Lord's Supper in a few moments, and there may be some things that you want to talk over with the Lord. That doesn't mean everybody that comes to the altar has sin in their lives, but there may be other reasons. But you can come and pray. But God does tell us we should not partake of the Lord's Supper unworthily. That doesn't mean we have to be perfect. He doesn't mean that. But with the right attitude, with our sins confessed up to date, with our heart and lives like it should be, and then we partake of the Lord's Supper. And he said to them in the New Testament, those that did it without having things right, were bringing judgment upon themselves, even physical judgment, and some of them were even dying because of it. And folks, tonight, let's have our hearts clear before God, whatever it takes, before we enter into the Lord's Supper. Father, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, God, for loving us enough to send your Son. Lord Jesus, you're listening to this prayer. It comes through you to the Father. You're the great high priest, Jesus, Lamb of God, there at the right hand of the Father. We say in unity tonight, we love you and thank you for suffering, coming to this earth, taking upon yourself a human body, tabernacling with us, and then dying on the cross and paying our sin debt. Lord Jesus, we love you tonight. We're looking forward to your return. Looking forward, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, which will mean that you will be back as King of Kings and on the throne. Lord Jesus, we love you tonight. We're not worthy of you. We gladly give you honor and praise. May you speak to our hearts and help us to be thankful, to thank you for all that we can understand and recognize and realize. We know that every good and perfect gift cometh from the Father above, even you. Have mercy on us. Speak to our hearts now, just before we have the Lord's Supper. If there's somebody here without Christ, I pray that they would walk this aisle tonight and meet me down front and receive Christ before it's eternally too late. In Jesus' name, amen.